there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny Pena, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna Manuel Pena, Danny's wife. And we have a fun topic today. We're going to talk about something that we both do professionally, but something that a lot of people do casually with varying degrees of impact, which is reviewing media.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So before we get into it, Danny, you have some comments. So
ready for the poll from last episode, which was interesting, about AI.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to go right now and read the question that I posted was, do you think AI is overall good or bad for the creative arts?
Hmm.
All right. So this is a very close one. 40% of you listeners says overall good.
Okay.
20% overall bad.
Hmm.
And 40%, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a lot we don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's a good poll.
And I also have a comment from one of our episodes. And this is the tips for new parents to travel with their babies. And this was episode 5.
Okay.
Make sure to listen to that. It was a great conversation with Ree. All right, so this is from Chiquito Davi. This person sent us this message. Stuck at the Denver airport for 5 hours. Our daughter was 1 month into walking.
Mm.
5 hours of chasing her. Patient and resilience has been mastered thanks to her. My daughter's name is also Violet as well.
Oh, another Violet. Yes,
that's very cute.
That is very cute. Well,
shout out.
Good on you, Chiquito Davi. Patience and resilience. Yes, that is very much so needed with traveling with a kid, but it sounds like you figured it out. So bravo.
Yeah. All right, so reviewing games.
Reviewing media.
Reviewing media.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, it's been a long day.
That's okay. So yeah, we're going to talk about reviews, and I wanted to have this discussion. This is a topic that I brought up because there are lots of different places and ways that either professionals or casual consumers can review movies, games, books, Amazon purchases, like anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But they have lots of different impacts. And I kind of wanted to talk about the impact of reviews in different media, how we approach reviews ourselves, like on our respective channels, and, you know, just overall what we think of reviews and how useful they are. So I wanted to start off with a question for you, Danny, is when you're reviewing something, whether it's a game or a movie, which is the two things you usually review.
Letterboxd.
What I wanted to know about your process is, how do you rate things? How do you scale things? Do you like a 10-point scale? Do you like a 5-point scale? Do you think all of it's, you know, like good, useful, or more arbitrary? Do you prefer to just give lots of your thoughts and let people make up their own minds?
I like to talk about my experience overall.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I started, it was all about numbers, and it was like a big thing back in the days,
mm-hmm.
especially for growing up reading magazines. It was all about like when I go to a store, when I want to buy a game or a rental spot, I'm checking, okay, what's the game I'm gonna, you know, rent,
yeah,
or buy, and I usually will see the box, and sometimes companies will add the reviews on the cover of the box or the back of the box. It will say 5.0 Game Pro, mm-hmm. or whatever. So sometimes that will influence me to buy the product, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I was always focused on, at that time, all about the numbers. Now I got to the point in my life that I just want to talk about my experience and why I love the game or movie more than anything. Not because, oh, let's give it a 9 out of 10. Like, I don't do that anymore.
Sure.
So I talk about my experience, why I like it. It's not all about like the graphics. It's not about like when I'm talking about video games, but it's not about the graphics. It's not about the music or the story. For me, it's more of the experience overall. And I'll talk about my experience, why I love it so much, and why I recommend this to other people to play to or to watch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And you?
For me, I like to think of my reviews as just more my experience as well. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to give things numbers. Sometimes I will if someone asks or if it makes sense. But I prefer to take an approach that's more like, hey, you should check this out, or only check it out if you love this genre or this type of media.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like a day one check it out, wait for a discounted version, or you can skip it kind of a scale, like more broad.
Yeah.
And I like to, at least on What's Good Games, when I'm reviewing games and sometimes shows and movies, just describe what I liked about it and what I thought could have been stronger and who I think would enjoy it. You know what I mean? So I'd say like, oh, people who enjoy other things like this will really love it. Or people who like anything with a good storyline would like this. Or, you know, like I could try to find the positive and like who it could be really special for. Because I'm just a positive person. I try not to poo-poo on things. And yeah, that's usually my approach. But the reason I wanted to start with your answer to that question, and then you Una reversed me, and I expected that, is there are a couple of ways that reviews with numbers truly impact media.
Yes.
And the two that I think are most well-known, and you mentioned Letterboxd, and there's, of course, different ways to rate and review other stuff as well. But the two that are most well-known are Rotten Tomatoes movies and TV and Metacritic for video games.
Yes.
And what's really interesting that not a ton of people who aren't inside industry news cycles are consistently looking for the latest and greatest on stuff that they consume. They might not know that these review scores affect business. And you can kind of get the idea in general that, you know, if a movie bombs, then they may not make a sequel. Or, you know, if a TV show doesn't do really well, it may not get renewed. But in the streaming age, that cycle and that model is absolutely different, right? We see TV shows that are really successful on Netflix, for example, that still don't get renewed for seasons or that get canceled. And on the video gaming side, there are entire studios that can be impacted by a negative Metacritic score. Mm-hmm. And what's really, I guess, troublesome for me personally is that a lot of the reviews come from people who aren't professional reviewers.
Yes and no. Sometimes, okay.
They have different categories.
So here's the problem, and this is why I stop doing the review numbers and everything like that, is because, yes, it impact not only the business, but it impact the experience of the consumer. Like, they'll see a review of a game or movie. Let's say it gets a 7 or 7.5.
Sure.
People automatically will think, oh, this is not a great game. Or, this
I think
is not
7
a great-
is great.
No, but I'm saying not us, because we're, you know, we know, but there's people that will see that and automatically, oh, it's not a 10.
They think a 70 is a C or
whatever. It's bad. And I'm like, no, it's not bad. So, perfect example. I remember when the first Destiny game came out, and when that game came out, as a reviewer, especially that doesn't understand about like live services, and at that time, they'll see this like, oh man, this is. There's not a lot of content in here, but eventually, a couple weeks later or a month later, there was more content added into the game that wasn't part of the launch. So
we call it vanilla.
Yeah. So when you see the game, when it launched, you think that's it. That's the game. And it's not. So, and I remember we didn't get a copy of this game early. We got it like maybe the day before it came out.
Yeah.
Because usually when we get games from companies, they'll send it to us like 2 weeks or even sometimes a month in advance to talk about it, right? But a game like Destiny,
there's no game until it's live.
Yeah, until it's live. Yeah. So that game received, I think, a 6, a 6.5.
That's so wild.
Right? That to me was the greatest 6.0 game that I ever played in my life, because I was playing that nonstop. My friends were playing it.
We still play it to this day.
Still to this day, right? Yeah. So
this is what, 10 years later.
So that's one, right? Another one is, remember when the Mario Brothers movie came out? What's coming out? I was like, oh man, the preview looks great. As a fan of Mario and Nintendo, this looks amazing, right? So we got to see the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It was like 4.0.
Yeah. Like out of 10.
Out of 10. But there was nothing from the audience, right? So I was like, man, is this movie
Is it that bad?
Is it that bad? But we still went to the movies day one.
Yeah, of course.
We went to see it. I think it was like 5 p.m., 6 p.m. our time, Pacific time. And wow, I left the theater mind blown. Like this, as a fan of Mario and a fan of Nintendo, one of the greatest video game movies I've seen ever, right?
Absolutely.
And then a couple of days later, we got to see audience scores. 90, 80, of high course, 80s.
Yeah.
And guess what? The first billion-dollar movie
of 2023.
Of 2023, right? So that's the problem. Either you don't, like the reviewers, like media, a lot of them don't play games, doesn't know anything about video games.
Sure.
Doesn't know anything so about Mario. So you're
talking specifically about this Mario. About Mario,
yeah. So they review that. We watch a YouTuber, Grace, I can't remember her last name, but she reviews a lot of movies and she talks a lot about like movie industry. So we
Beyond the Trailer.
Beyond the Trailer, it's called the show on YouTube. And I didn't agree with the review. She's like, oh, I was... And she was so surprised that that weekend, that movie made so much money.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like,
we could have called that.
We could have called that. But what I was trying to say is...
I think we did on our shows, actually.
What I was trying to say is don't, as a consumer that's going to buy a product or a person that don't read reviews, just go like to a YouTube channel or maybe depend on Rotten Tomatoes or Letterboxd to see what the reviews of the stuff. The best way to review things is do your research and have and experience it yourself to see if it's good or not. And you should spread the word and share that to your friends and people that you know that are curious about the movie, or share it through social too. I think that's the best way. Like there's people that I follow that I trust their reviews, and they don't put like 0.5 or none of that number stuff. They also will post their experience.
Sure.
And based on that, I think that's how it should be, instead of reading sites that sometimes they'll post a low review on purpose because it's a clickbait, and that will generate views. Yeah. I'm not saying that every site is like that, but there's sites, there's some that do.
Of course,
yeah. Even YouTube channels that will do that. Just
Especially YouTube channels.
Yeah, it would negativity would generate a lot of views. Like I remember, and this is my last thing, sorry this is long, but I remember there was this game that came out, was getting really, really high scores. High scores. And there was one website that gave it a 5. Why?
Yeah.
Don't you find that real fishy that every site gave it a positive review and just one? But guess what?
It gets all the traffic.
That site got the most attention.
Yeah, of course.
So should we depend 100% on reviews or just experience it ourselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will say sometimes people have to rely on reviews because they can't afford to pay for every experience themselves.
Of course.
So that's the reason, why people go seek them out. But I totally agree with you. Find some person, some outlet, some site that reviews things in a way that resonates with your likes and your interests so that you know, hey, if so-and-so channel or whatever site gives this an 8, I'd probably like it. You know, like that way you know it's going to align with what you would feel about whatever that is.
And look, there's games that got high reviews and I played it and it wasn't for me, but I wasn't going online like, this game is trash. Like, I will never do that.
No.
But like, I'll give you a perfect example. Like Red Dead Redemption, the first one. Red Dead Redemption. Love the first one. Love it. So I was excited to play the second one. Got it early, everything. And I couldn't get into it. I got so bored.
Yeah.
Very, very bored, right? And, once the reviews are coming out, that game was getting 10s, 9s.
It was the game of the year for a lot of people.
And that's fine. Everybody's going to have different opinions about it, right? I didn't enjoy the game because I'm talking about my experience, not what everybody else is saying. You know, like I'm not, that's another thing too. Don't feel pressure. Like you have to give the same review that everybody else is like, you know, just be honest. Like you have to give a reason why you don't like it. And I gave my reason why. Then, like, I just found it boring, you know, compared to the first one. The first one, I just loved it so much. And I think people were saying, Danny, you got to keep on playing it. I get it. The first couple hours is very slow, and then it gets
better. That's always a tough sell.
But I don't like doing that. I don't want to wait. It's like when I'm listening to a music, right? Like, I remember you were listening to Beyonce album. You're like, yeah, like the first time I listened to it, it was okay.
Yeah.
But it took you a while to like, okay, this is an album of the year stuff, right? Yeah. Like it took a while, right? So you have the patience. Sometimes I don't have the patience.
Well, it depends on what it is. Like I don't have the patience for like, oh, you have to watch the first 5 hours of this series and then it gets good. Like, no, I don't have that patience.
I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about as well is, like I said, the impact of the numbered reviews. So when you get the what is it called? The calculation of all of the different outlets, both Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, which are the two that I wanted to highlight, take both the critic score, which is all of the different official outlets, as well as a user score or a viewer score, right? So there's the two different sides, like you mentioned with the Mario movie.
Yeah.
The movie critics were like, what is this? And, you know, maybe they didn't get it. But clearly a lot of people did because it got incredible user scores, as you mentioned. And as you said, first billion-dollar movie of 2023. So obviously there's something to it. It may not be a critically acclaimed, you know, feature film with whatever criteria movie critics are using. But guess what? It's going to sell a bunch of movie tickets because it's a great time. Period. Right. And they proved that. And the same thing happens with games where critically, maybe it doesn't vibe with everybody, or maybe it doesn't hit all of the benchmarks that different game reviewers feel like it should hit. And so it gets a low Metacritic score from the critics circle and the review circle. However, the user score is high because people love playing that game. Like, there's a game that's really popular right now called Balatro. It's a poker roguelike game.
And yeah, I know a lot of people playing that.
Yeah, it's all over the charts. And if a game reviewer, hashtag TM, would have looked at that game, they would have said like, oh, this is cool. Like, it's really got something to it. But I don't think they would have expected it to blow up the way it has because, just let me get some out.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is the strongest marketing anything could ever have. Like, if a person experiences something and they tell their friends, like you mentioned, they should, that's going to be more impactful and more encouraging than any commercial, than any sponsored deal, than any ad that they, you know, put inside your scrolling favorite app of choice. Like if somebody tells you, hey, you should check out the Mario movie because it's so much fun, you're going to go see it. They might see it with you. Like, getting a community excited about something is always the best way to promote it and get it more buzz and more acceptance and views, right? However, that critics score, especially in games, unfortunately, can completely change the makeup of that team's plan moving forward. So I know this from being on the inside of game development, but also from seeing it happen so many times where video game comes out, it has pretty good user scores, but the Metacritic score for the journalist side or the media side is low. And so a lot of the folks on the team like don't get bonuses, or if they're contractors, they get let go. They downsize whatever their continuing support plan is for that game. Like, say it has DLC, or if it is a live service game, they dial back. Like, there's games studios that have shut down because games have been reviewed so poorly and accepted so poorly. So while I really don't like giving scores with numbers on a regular basis because I don't feel like it truly represents all of how I feel about something, I'd rather give my words. My lack of positive number in the calculation may be letting some studios down, or it may be, you know, adding to the argument for whatever executive is making the choice to cut something in the future, you know? And so I constantly grapple with this back and forth where if I like something, I want to support it however I can so that more of it can exist, so that the people who made it can get paid. And you know what I mean? Like, I want to support it with everything that I have at my disposal. And a review score is a very simple thing for me to give. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's authentic to give a number for so many things that I review. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly having these back and forths in my own head, which is why I wanted to talk about it with you today, because that impact is real. Like, that's, you know, people's jobs, people's livelihoods, entire studios' plans that could potentially be changed or, you know, dropped if it doesn't review well.
And I was going to ask you this question.
Sure.
So let's say the media gives it a 5 or 6.
Gives what? What are we talking about?
A game.
A video game.
A game.
Okay.
A 5 or 6, right?
Sure. That's kind of low.
Let's just say, like, let's say Destiny, right? Let's say Destiny, right?
Sure.
But did that change anything with the sales? The sales numbers is through the roof. Like, for example, from the movie side, Mario got low numbers, right? Mm-hmm. From the media. But the fans went in, made $1 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
How, from the gaming side, are we still going to see people getting let go because of that? Because I personally think, and it should be like this, I think it's, if a studio is going to get a bonus, okay, you could add reviews if you want, but what about the sales? Like, what happened to the sales numbers is through the roof.
Oh, no, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, I know that for a fact, Metacritic scores are one of the metrics that bonus and continuing support structures are based on. And sales, of course, is, you know, where the money comes from. But Metacritic scores are also a factor. And a lot of studios and publishers have a number that they're trying to hit. And if they don't hit it, then some goal is not met.
But the reason I'm asking you this is because there's games that got in great reviews, right? Like 9, 10, sure, high 8s.
Of course.
And the sales numbers, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Are there still going to... based on the reviews, are still they going to get a bonus because of that too?
Yeah, it's a KPI. It's a key performance indicator for that project.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I find that strange, because if a game has great reviews and it's just the sales numbers are not that great.
Well, the reason is the sales numbers are trailing, right? They're always going to be continuing, ongoing, and the KPI score, or sorry, the Metacritic score for at least a video game, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes out, that's what the public remembers about the game, is what the score is at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, something like a Destiny or like a No Man's Sky, or, you know, we're getting very deep into video games specifically.
Yeah.
Ongoing experiences like video games can come back.
Oh yeah,
and build
come
up
back
after the fact. Movies and TV, not so much. Sometimes a TV show might have a little revival here or there. Like Suits is all of a sudden super popular because of Meghan Markle, I'm guessing, but. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when it comes out, the movie or the TV show, it comes out and that's it. Like, it doesn't have a second chance or an ongoing, you know, DLC.
Yeah.
like it's either everybody loved it and watched it or they didn't. But there's some things that have a hit or a cult following, that, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show is consistently finding new fans because it's just so camp and so special and so unique. But most movies and TV shows, it's when they come out, they get a score, they get the sales.
It's different.
And then
yeah,
that's it.
It's different. Now, this is a video game related, and I just thought about right now based on what you were saying.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Sure.
When it first came out.
Huge flop.
It wasn't a flop with sales. When it comes to like PC.
They didn't hit their numbers is what I'm saying.
They didn't hit their goal numbers, but it sold a lot. And there was a lot of people that also returned their game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the studio kept on working on the game throughout the years. And I remember when they were slowly updating the game, it was getting better and better. And right now is the best that I ever played right now. Like, especially when the expansion came out. And Phantom Liberty. And that expansion took the game review-wise top to number, high nines.
Sure.
High eights.
That changed the Metacritic score?
That changed the Metacritic scores, and just overall, like reviewers, outlets and creators, content creators.
Re-reviewed.
Well, not re-reviewed because it's an expansion, so they're reviewing that. Plus, they talked about the updates and everything that they added in the game. And, they did amazing, you know? So, that's also possible, too, from the gaming side. You can't really do that on movies, because I know
it's
with movies.
Tough, yeah.
There
may be a remaster or a remake, but that's a totally different film at that point.
Do you remember the movie Cats?
Yeah.
So, and whoever's watching this, please let me know if this is true or not. But when the movie came out, there was a lot of, like, stuff that didn't look good in the movie, like special effects, like it looked weird.
I remember there's weird stuff about the buttholes.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff, right? And then I think a week after that or 2 weeks after that, they re-released it to the theaters. Yeah. But within a week or so, something like that. And when people got to watch it, we're like, wait a minute,
this is different.
They cover the butthole. Like, you get what I'm saying? So, like, that's also the movie still was a flop. The reviews was terrible. Yeah. But yeah, like, perfect example. Like,
sure.
And this is, like, so confusing.
Mm.
Recently, the new Ghostbusters movie came out.
Which?
The Frozen.
Frozen Empire?
Frozen Empire. Okay. Yeah. So, that came out. And I really enjoyed it. I went to the movies and I got to see it. And I'm going to talk about this outlet. IGN, right? Gave it a 4 out of 5, right? No, a, yeah, 4 out of 5.
Sure.
Madden Web, which is known as one of the worst movies
from the Sony. Yeah.
That one got a 5.
So Madden Web was better than Ghostbusters Frozen Empire,
so,
according to IGN.
But I went to the movies and I really enjoyed Ghostbusters.
Did you see Madden Web?
No, but I talked to people that got to see that movie and they're like, yeah, that movie is not good. And they also got to see Ghostbusters. They're like, yo, the movie's good. It's not the greatest movie of the year or anything like that, but
sure.
It's good. Like, that movie's like a 7, mm-hmm. 7.5 maybe, Ghostbusters, yeah, right?
From what I've seen of Madden Web, and I've only seen clips,
yeah.
It's almost, it's borderline like incomplete. Like, there's ADR or voiceover that is put in after the movie was filmed that doesn't line up with the main villain.
Also, like, was off.
So it was literally off. Like, he's just sitting there quiet and, or shot filmed over his shoulder, just showing his back. And you can clearly see from a profile that his lips aren't moving, or they're moving to whatever other audio track.
Yeah.
And it's just a voiceover that's giving his lines. It's like I said, borderline incomplete from what I've seen.
Well, what was the part of the story of the main character that she was saying something like the Amazon jungle?
Oh my gosh. It was that my mom was researching spiders in the Amazon right before she died or something like that. funny part of piece of trivia. I'm pretty sure that line isn't actually in the movie. I think it's only in the marketing.
Oh, it's only in the we got to do an episode about marketing, because there's stuff that
I would love that.
Oh, we got to talk about that. We got definitely, because there's stuff that I've seen from a trailer or from a commercial that's not in the game or in the movie.
There's a reason for that.
I don't like that. Don't trick.
There's people, a reason for that.
We're going to talk about that one day.
I would love to have a deep dive on marketing.
I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to chat with you about reviews and how we approach them, which I'm still a little undecided of how I want to approach them long term. Like I said, I told you and everybody listening and watching how I've been doing it, but I'm still a little conflicted if that's the best way for me to do reviews, right? Like, I want to help out projects that I believe in. I don't want to bring anything down if it's struggling to find its audience, because everything is a favorite thing to somebody, you know? And if you love Madam Web, I love that for you.
This is 100% opinion.
I'm never going to yuck someone's yum.
I'm not saying that our opinion is going to be right.
No right or wrong. It's an opinion.
It's an opinion. We're just having a conversation about, look, this is probably going to be people like, no, Madden Web is my favorite movie of the year.
It could be. Maybe it's a classic cult hit and everybody's watching it like with Rocky Horror and, you know, renting out theaters and shouting out stuff during the movie and throwing popcorn across the stage. Like, that's great. I love that. I love anything that brings joy.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Before we wrap it up. So we've been watching the new Avatar show on Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
The reviews were all over the place.
All over the place.
A lot of people were like, loved it, and some were like,
I reviewed it on What's Good Games.
Yeah, and I think there were some that were very too picky about the movie.
I gave it a 7.5, and I gave it a score.
Yeah, oh, you gave it a score.
I gave it a score, because many other people had given it a score.
Doesn't mean you have to.
I just felt that I wanted to say, you know what, if I'm going to put my flag in the sand for this show, it's a good out of whatever. It's a 7.5.
Okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Avatar, or if you like kids with powers or, you know, super magical stories, you'll enjoy it.
And you know what's crazy? There's multiple shows and even movies that was like Netflix originals.
Yeah.
That came out years ago. I think there was one from Will Smith. I can't remember the name of that one. That one got terrible reviews, like terrible, right? And it was one of the highest stream movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
So
wait, you mean After Earth or something like that?
I can't remember that. It was one of, like, I think he was like a cop.
Oh, it's something else.
It's something else. I can't remember the movie, but it got really bad reviews.
Sure.
And a lot of people signed up to Netflix just to watch that. So
yeah. Hey.
Well, and now exactly with Avatar, they renew another season for this one.
Two more seasons.
Two and three.
Yeah. Book one is the first season, and then they're doing book 2 and 3, which were the animated seasons.
Because at the end of the day, Netflix doesn't depend on the reviews. They depend on how many people watching it, how many people subscribe to the service, or still part of the service.
Honestly, I don't know how Netflix makes their decisions, because there are so many great shows that are really well reviewed and high watch hours, which is their number one metric, is watch hours, that get canceled. Like, hello, Winx, hello, Sense8. Like, there's so many amazing things and really cool, like, different things.
Yeah.
IP on Netflix. And they're just like, nah, we don't like it anymore. Like, I don't get it.
That part I don't get. But
I don't get it at all.
Movies that really bad reviews and they still renew it.
Or
like TV show, I mean.
Yeah, lots of that.
Or they do like a sequel for a movie.
Yeah, I don't get it. Netflix, make it make sense.
Yeah.
Bring back the Winx Club, please. Please.
Is there anything else about this topic before we wrap it up? I mean, that's something that is very confusing.
The whole
number system.
And everybody has a different scale.
Yeah. And again, it worked back then when I was growing up,
sure.
You know, as a kid. Now.
Wait, what works back then?
The reviews, like how it was, like with the whole number system. Now there's more outlets that is more about opinions. They're giving a score.
Yeah.
So like I watch, you know, YouTubers, a lot of YouTubers that I watch when they review a game or a movie, they don't even mention numbers. They just talk about
we're saying now.
Yeah. So it makes more sense now, because I think the whole number system, it's not perfect. And a lot of people will see a game or a movie that gets like a mid score and they think, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. And it's not. It's not.
Yeah. You know, there's something else that we haven't gotten into that I do want to mention, and that's review bombing, which is stupid and annoying.
Very
much. It's where, and it happens a lot in video games specifically, where for whatever reason, a group of people have an issue with a game and they go to the places where that game is listed and leave negative reviews most of the time before they even experience the game, and essentially make that game's review score so low that it could potentially tank its sales. And this is an intentional act when you call it review. What I'm calling review bombing is an intentional act to keep a product from selling in order to harm the company that's putting it out. I don't like that practice.
I don't.
If you play a game and it's broken and you hate it, okay, sure. Like, tell your review. But if you haven't even experienced it, don't review. Like, don't do that. Like, that's awful.
People will do that.
It's awful.
When they're angry.
And it's real lives. It's real people. They have real jobs. They actually do care about what they're doing, even if you don't. And that's just not cool. I don't think any of our listeners would be in that camp, but just wanted to put that out there. Review bombing happens and it sucks.
Yeah.
And it does have a real impact, and we've seen that, and it's unfortunate.
I just want to say, I've been looking at the numbers of our podcast, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that's been listening or watching our show. It's pretty cool to see every week people listening to the show.
Speaking of reviews, thank you for your positive reviews.
Yeah, thank
you so
much.
It's been great hearing from everybody.
It's been great. It's been great.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue. We're having a lot of fun with this.
So we are.
Just want to say thank you for the support.
Yeah, very much so appreciated. And let us know what you're feeling, like what games you're going to give your positive reviews for, what movies, what TV shows, what's been good this year so far. We're at the end of March, and you know, we got some catching up to do.
And if you finished listening to this episode, or while you're listening to this episode on Spotify, make sure to check out our poll, because we post some interesting questions and we would like to see what people have to say about it. So
yeah,
can't wait for the next one.
All right.
So we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening to the latest episode, and we'll be back next time.
Bye.